You got your Bibles, turn with me. Go into the Sermon on the Mount with me, please. To Matthew chapter number 7. Chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. You folks that's been to Israel with me, you have went to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus spoke those words. And it's a wonderful place. But I have a thought tonight I want to give you. I think I'll be a help to you. I have a particular application at the end of the message that I want to give tonight that I think will be a great help to families. But look at the Bible, Matthew 7, and stand to your feet. Let's read. And we've got about 40 minutes, 35 minutes, and I've got a lot to give you tonight. I don't know about you. When we look at our country, this country we have is on fire. Literally on fire. And I want to tell you where the central battle is in our country. It's the battle for the family. Just mark it down, I said that. It's the battle for the family. And I want you to know something. It's a real battle. You know, a lot of times when a preacher will deal with the family, we always say, well, he's dealing with the younger families. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how long you've been married, you're going to have trials in your life and in your family. And some of you people that have now experienced the empty nest, that's a new battle. And I want to deal with the family tonight, and that'll be my primary application. But I want you to look at verse number 24 through verse 27, and I'll bring a thought tonight. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man, which had built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and bare upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Our Father, I ask you now to help us as we bring this lesson tonight about how we build our life and how we build our homes. God, I realize that pastoring a church this large and this many people, those people come into this church every week that's struggling, that's in a battle, that needs some help, needs some principles. And God, help us tonight as we give these principles out from the Word of God in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to give you three things by way of introduction, and I want you to consider three little thoughts. It's right here in this portion of Scripture. By the way, we're all building. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me give you three things to consider. First of all, there's two builders in this passage, Chad. One of them's called a wise builder. One of them's called a foolish builder. Now, I did some study here, and maybe you'll get in with me on this. And I want you to consider the comparisons. There are some comparisons here of these two builders. Number one, both of them heard the words of Christ. He spoke to the wise man, he spoke to the foolish man. You know, I've been pastoring this church. Sunday, well, I'll be ending 41 years. Believe it or not, I cannot believe a year's passed since my 40th anniversary. And I will be real frank with you. There's a lot of folks tonight come into this church And some get it. Some get it. And frankly, some don't. Some get, they hear the same thing. You say, Preacher Smith, how can people come in the church, 1,000 people every Sunday, whatever we have, and they come into church, they hear the same thing, and one crowd goes one direction and the other crowd goes the other direction? Jesus says, because one obeyed and the other disobeyed. Because you're hearing the same message. Somebody help me. I mean, you get to preach. Folks, you get preaching every week. And everybody gets the same preaching. So why some folks' lives going down the tubes and why some people's lives withstanding the storm? It's simple. Those lives that are standing are obeying God. Those lives that are not standing are not obeying God. And boy, I tell you, we complicate this thing. There's so many books out, Jeff. Man, you could buy 700 books on marriage. And 700 books on how to, the will of God for your life. And you know what? I could bring it down to one thing. And it's real simple. Are you going to live a life of obedience? Or are you going to live a life of disobedience? Because you're going to hear the same truth. Now I'm going to give you some truth tonight. And when you walk out of here, you're going to have the obligation to either I'm going to abide by the truth or I'm just going to keep on building on the sand. All right? Y'all with me? Boy, I can already see you. I better hurry on the introduction. Now, secondly, not only but did both of them hear the words of Christ, both of them built houses. Thirdly, this is what they had in common. Both, now listen to this, I think both built in a similar location. Would you agree? Yes, sir. I know I agree. We have to agree. You know why we have to agree? Because the same storm hit both of them. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Every family, every person in this room, you're going to have a storm hit you before long. And you hear me. It's not going to be how smart you are or how much ability you have. It's where your life is built. Amen? So, both of them were in similar locations. And I believe, because it doesn't really say exactly, they both probably built similar houses because the houses back then were similar. Secondly, this is an introduction. First of all, we consider the comparisons, but let's consider the contrast now. One man built his house on a rock. I don't know everything about history of this valley. And I know they tell us right outside here, run the Taze River. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living on the back end of the church is the back bank, or maybe even further back, of the old Taze River. And you go past the highway up there on the other side, and they say that's the other bank. I don't know exactly that's it. But I want y'all to know, right outside that door, where that 19,000 square foot building is, was a swamp. And when they dug, we dug holes 65 feet deep. 65 feet. One place, 66 feet. You said, why? That seemed foolish. I'm sure some of the church members, if they came down there and looked around, said, what in the world is Pastor Smith and Brother Green doing out there putting holes all the way around this building? 88 of them, by the way. 65 feet deep. Why in the world would they do that? Are they nuts? No, we're not nuts. Because we know 65 foot down is bedrock. And I saw that junk come out of that hole. That's the ugliest stuff I ever seen. Some of it was blue gray. I called it blue gumbo. I'm telling you, it was the ugliest looking stuff. If we'd have went down 30 feet and put that building there, it would have sucked. I don't care if we had 14 foot slab out there. But ladies and gentlemen, we built that building out there on a rock. It ain't going nowhere. It's not going nowhere. You say why? That man's house wasn't going anywhere because it built on the rock. If you build your life on Jesus Christ, it will not fall. It will not crumble. It will not dissolve. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Stay with me. So one built upon the rock, and just like it said, Chad, the rain came. And it came bad. And the wind blew. Didn't shake it. What did a shingle go off of it? It stood. Why did it stand? Because of where it was built. But let's look at the contrast. One built his house upon the sand. Wow. Sand. That ain't good. Because I'm going to tell you what, you build a house upon sand, guess what's going to happen when the rain comes? I just put my holy imagination. Let's just say it was a 4,000 square foot house, big old open living room, both of them, big open living room, I kind of like open, and 3.5 baths, had a little den for the old man to go in and kick his legs up and have his books and watch TV and have a microwave and moon pies. Man, I'm about to get in the Holy Ghost now. It had all that. It was pretty. But guess what? When that rain came, I don't care how pretty it was on the outside. Because see, the outside and the structure above ground didn't mean a thing if it wasn't built on the rock. You know what I see with my eyeballs? I see it. I mean, I see folks building their life on sand. Folks, things are not stable. You see marriages that they're just not stable. You say, what's wrong with homes today? They're not stable. Now, I probably would get a lot of amens if I stay off of the next two or three little points. What is sand? I see the sand of social media. We don't preach much on that anymore. I got a message, by the way, I just built about social media. I'll preach it sometime. It is destroying homes. I know a church in Ohio, the pastor called me. He had 8 families going through divorce at the same time. 8 at the same time. Called me for counseling. I thought, Lord God. 8. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? And all of them was infidelity of some type. All 8 of them was. And I said, well, and he said, preacher, I've talked to all 8. And every one of them, their affairs and their mess started on social media. Every one of them. They got tired of each other and they found somebody else to chat with. And then they send pictures and you know the rest. And it's sand. It's sand. And what it led to sensual appetites. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot feed your flesh sensual stuff without you getting in sin. You just can't do that. You know what I see in homes? It really scares me. There's couples saying, come on in, devil. No restrictions. No restrictions on social media. No restrictions on what kind of TV you watch. No restrictions on what kind of movies you watch. Just come on in. And it's sand. And don't get upset at me. You know I'm telling the truth. It's sad. I mean, it's hard. How many of y'all agree? It's hard enough to have a good marriage and a good life and live for God doing everything right. I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying to do it right. But I'll be honest with you. The devil beat me up and trying to hit all the time. I'm trying to do it right. And I'm trying to keep him out. But dear God, to say, come on in. And I'm not trying to be blunt. I'm not trying to be overly blunt. I'm not trying to be overly blunt. But the point is, that's the facts. And what happens is, instability. Then we're getting our social media. Then our sensual appetites. And then where it goes to sexual perversion.
You're right, preacher.
That quick. And the home's gone. And the life's gone. One of the biggest battles. And I won't get deeply in this. I need to go on. Because I want to give you four great principles at the end. One of the biggest battles that I see in homes, especially among men, though it's not exclusive to man, is pornographic materials.
Amen, preacher.
Do you have any idea what you're doing by bringing that into your house? There's a book up in my library, and I wouldn't let most of you read it. I wouldn't. I read it because I wanted to get information. It's got a hook in the brain. Where a brain is hooked on that stuff. There's a little hook there. It's an addiction that hooks the brain. I read the book and I forget the title, but it don't matter. But it's about pornographic material. You say, why in the world would a Baptist preacher read that kind of material? Because there's a bunch of people gravitating to that. And I'm trying to say, don't bring it in your house. You might say, oh, preacher, I just got Playboy. Don't get that in your house. Preacher, I just got Hustler. Don't get that in your house. It's going to lead to something else and something else and something else. And by the way, you don't need that perversion in your house to make your marriage better and your sex life better. You don't need it. Bible really tells you how to do it. Y'all want to know some lessons about sexual activity? Just read Song of Solomon. That'll give you all you need to know.
Question.
Amen.
Yeah.
Question. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. Surely that don't embarrass you with some of the stuff you read. Good. Time out. I'm not going to stay on that point long. I'm going to get out of there while I'm still doing good. So we have a comparison, we have a contrast, but then we have a consequence. By the way, there's always a consequence to our behavior. Would you agree? I mean, you build a pool in a rock, the storms come, consequence is you stand. You build on sand. Same storm comes, consequence is your house falls. You cannot build your life on sand and expect it not to fall and not to collapse. You can't do it. Now, I hope you brought a pen with you. This will be on tape. Now I'm going to give you actually the lesson now. And I got 18 minutes to do it. I want to give you four things. Now, we got builders in this room. There's several builders in this room, okay? We got builders in this room. I am not a builder. Don't claim to be. I am not. But I do know one thing about building. You don't build a house, you build thousands of them. If you want that thing to get right, you better get your corners right.
Square.
You better get them square, hadn't you?
Yep.
I mean, if this one is one way and this one over here is the other way, I tell you what, I had an experience with a contractor one time. I was looking for a contractor. And I'm dumb, okay, about this stuff. But I went down to see his buildings. Okay? And one of the guys that worked on him said, "Don't get him." He knew I was a preacher. He said, "Don't get my boss. This is the worst he ever was." He went over on a corner and he put that thing up there. It was out of plumb. And as ignorant as I am, I saw how stupid that was. It was out of square. The corners wasn't right. By the way, you don't get the corners right, the house is not going to get right. Amen? So let's just for a minute or two talk about basic house. I mean, I'm sure you got different designs, but let's just talk about a four-corner house, okay? Which is basic, right? So let's just talk about four corners. That's what y'all all relate to. If you're building a house, you're talking about four corners. So, Jeff, if I'm going to build a house and I want it to stand, I've got to make sure I've got the right corners. Correct?
Yep.
All right. Number one, write this down. Write it down. Cornerstone number one. Consecration. Hear it. Consecration. Dedication number one to the Savior. Hey, you're not going to have your house right if your life's not right with God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why is it that most homes, most people seek everything but God first? I mean, it blows my mind. You've got to put God first. Then I secondly, not only get dedication to the Savior, but death to self, the self life. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How many of y'all agree Jesus Christ was selfless when he died for you? He took your place. And I'm going to just tell you, I can sum up why a lot of marriages are bad. It's just selfishness. I mean, it's selfishness. Like some of you men, you know what your problem in your home is? You're selfish. Just selfish. Hello? Some of you ladies, you're selfish. You gotta understand. You're gonna have the right cornerstone. You gotta have consecration, dedication to the Savior, death to the self life, and listen to this, devotion to your spouse. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And it works both ways. You love your spouse as you love your body. Devotion. I thank God for the wife I got. I'm devoted to her. We going on 46 years. Still humming. I got the best in the bargain. There ain't no doubt about that. And she just said amen down there taking care of her daddy right there. So, Jeff, cornerstone number one, consecration. Cornerstone number two, listen to this carefully, convictions. If you don't stand for something in your life or you're in your home, you'll fall for anything. Somebody help me preach. You know what I see? It scares me. This absolutely scares me. I see homes today and there's no conviction in their homes. They have no standard. Now, let's look at some of them. I've got three things I want to show you here. First of all, there got to be some do's. Some do's concerning your family. First of all, family dedication. Now, I'm going to blow your mind here. I'm going to tell you where my priorities are. Number one, my priority is with God. Then my wife and children, and then the church. How many heard that? God, you said, well, you're not going to do good by the church if you put the church first. Hold a minute. You put God first, and everything else will take care of itself, including the church. Then family discipline. I know. Too many of y'all wrote too many books about Spock and some of that. And I ain't talking, you know, I'm not going to get into how you discipline. You do it, just do it, okay? I do know this, that it's, I know it's changed over culture, and I know that Marguerite and I would probably be in jail today if we'd be in the standards of today's living. And by the way, my mom and dad would have really been in jail. I used to go in church and sit beside my mom. And I like to jabber. I'll never forget, and I won't hurt you, but I'm going to tell you what she did. Right in front of every, it was a Presbyterian church, by the way. She went. That wasn't bad, was it?
No.
Okay. She just blasted me right on the head. And there ain't much in there, so it went pop. And here's what everybody in church did. And you know what? I saw one woman of her, her mouth was wide open, and she said, look what Juanita done to John David. That was an every Sunday thing. Family devotion, praying with each other, loving each other. Where's that gone? That's some news. Then concerning faithfulness to Christ, to the church, and to the calling of God in your lives. But listen to this. Concerning forgiveness. Look at me. I deal with this all the time. Preacher, they hurt me, and I can't forgive. No, it's not you can't. You won't. You got to forgive. It's got to be practiced in your home. I'll give you some more about that in a moment. You got to forgive. You know, the Bible says 70 times 7. We ought not be trying to count it as much as we realize what God was trying to tell us. It's infinite. We need to forgive. You know what I see in our homes? I see a bunch of unforgiveness and a bunch of bitterness and anger, and it's bad. Amen. There must be some definite don'ts. Now listen carefully. And I'm not going off the deep end. I'm just going to give you some. There ought to be some things concerning your dialect. You ought not say bad stuff in your home in front of each other or your children. Your children don't need to hear junk. They're going to hear it in their public school anyhow. Keep it out of your home. Concerning your dress. I want to tell you. My wife, if you watch her, she dresses pretty. She's a pretty woman. She got pretty clothes. She dresses for me, though. She ain't trying to track somebody else's husband. She's me. And I'm not going to beat you over the head with that. You ought to have enough sense to know what to do. Amen. You're not dressing to attract somebody else. You're dressing to attract your own spouse. That's good preaching.
Yep.
Amen. Why is it that you want to dress all sexified out there at work in front of all them other people, man or women, but you don't just look grateful for your husband. You think, you know, or your wife. Hello? I know, I try to dress nice. Now, I know on a person that's built like me, that's built with two ice cream cones put upside down on each other. That's how I'm built. I mean, real thin up here and real thin down here and in the middle. But I tell you what I try to do. I do try to dress to give God the glory and my wife, you know, that she well, you know, that dude, he's pretty straight. Look at him. Amen. No, I don't wear skinny jeans. But could you imagine that? I can't imagine that. Concerning your dialect, concerning your dress, concerning your deeds, or just stuff you ought not to do in your home. I'm going to give you this illustration, and I'll try to hurry. I don't, because I've got shortness of time, but I got to tell you this. I was thinking about this because of Margie Litton. Margie Litton was a great, great, she did great Bible schools. How many remember her doing Bible school? Great. Man, she was the best. We had a Bible school one time, and I tell you what we do. We do Bible schools like we do in everything else. We try to win every kid to Christ. And we won a Lutheran boy to the Lord. He's either Lutheran or Episcopalian. I can't. There ain't much different. It's one of them two. Man, the next day, his dad come flying in the office. My secretary said, "Where's the preacher?" And I walked out because he's getting loud. So I'm right here, come in. And when he saw I was 6 foot five and 375 at the time, he kind of quietened down a little bit. He came in and he said, "Who are you think you can tell my son he's lost and tell my son how to get saved?" I said, "You sent him up here." I said, "Hold a minute." I said, "Sir, is it hurting?" "No," he said, "yes, sir, for the first time in my whole life." I said, "You seen a change already?" He said, "Yeah." But he said, "I've raised like ass to hold it, sir. We just give him the gospel." Then the conversation turned real quick. I ain't never had anything like this. It turned, whoa. You ever see something turn on a dime? And here's what he said. He got off of that because I didn't convince him that we didn't hurt the boy. And he said, "What do you think about social drinking?" God, that's mercy. What is a whiskey pagan coming up to me? Again, coming to me, I mean, it's a whiskey pagan, and coming up to me and asking me that question. I said, "Sir, I said, let me ask you a question. Would you like for him to drink your beer? Drink your wine?" "Absolutely not." I said, is your refrigerator locked down?" "Uh-uh." "Well, how do you know he ain't going to do it?" And I told him the story of a boy that was in this community probably 35 years ago. I did his funeral on a bicycle. Got into his daddy's refrigerator. Drank about three beers. Got soused, run right in front of a car. Killed him. I didn't know the people well, but I went and visited them. And I believe I did the funeral. I can't even remember that far back. But guess what? They brought it in there. And that little boy had no control. Somebody help me preach. If it's good enough for Mom and Daddy, isn't it good enough for me? Number three, let me go quickly. I only got 3 minutes. Then we need, thirdly, commitment. First of all, to your wedding vows. You remember when you give your vows, whether it was in church or somewhere else, you did your vows? You need to commit yourself to those same vows. You need to commit yourself to world worthwhile values. You need to commit yourself to walk victoriously. Now I'm going to finish. I went through that quickly, and let me give you the fourth cornerstone. Communion with the Lord. You must learn to, and by the way, not only with the Lord, but with your spouse. And by the way, you're living there together. Let me give you three little principles. Will y'all listen to them? You must learn to discuss without arguing. I remember when I was young married, I was so ignorant. I wish some preacher would have took this to me. You know, all I want to do is argue because I'm selfish and I want to have my way. You must learn to disagree without getting angry. Good preaching. It got quiet here all of a sudden. Now let me give you one I want you to write down. You must learn to drop it without any animosity, without being bitter. You know what? There's some of you, you know good and well. You're holding things from 15, 20 years ago. I know people that are mad at folk, don't even know what they're mad about now. They got old and their memory's bad. Hello? I mean, some of y'all, hey! Now, ladies, I don't want to upset you. The men are guilty about 95% of this, but sometimes this might be your weak link. You just won't drop it. Your OCD, you just won't drop it. I mean, I tell my wife, okay, your point's made, drop it. She makes another one. I said, okay. You know what she does? She gets a knot around my neck and just tightens it up about the time she can get it. But you know what? Would there be any bitterness in our marriages if we dropped it? Just dropped it. I mean, most of the stuff we argue about are ignorance. I mean, my wife argues with me about some things. You know what they are? It's not real deep. Quit being a slob! And you know what I say to her? Drop it. Amen. I'm done. Let me close. Let me ask you something. Do you have these cornerstones in your life? You say, preacher, what do I need to talk to my wife about and what we need to talk about? Here's what you need to talk about. What he likes, what she likes, but most of all, what God likes. If you can get that right, four cornerstones. But they can't be embedded in sand. They got to be on the bedrock. Bow your head with me. I'm finished. Lois, come and play something for us. How many of you in this room, you're married? Or maybe you're not married, you're single, but your life's a battle right now. Say, preacher, pray for me. I want to have those kind of principles in my life, in my marriage. And I want to see God do some things in our lives and give us victory. Just slip your hand up all over the house. God bless you all over the house. Amen. Stand with me if you need to pray. Maybe you want to pray for your husband, pray for your wife, pray for your children. Just pray for your home. Whatever you like to do, you come. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the goodness of God tonight. Lord, thank you for these principles. And bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks are coming. You come.
My hope is built on nothing less than
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I hope you got some help tonight. Isn't the Word of God great? Amen. If you don't remember all of this, remember this. The choice is obedience or disobedience. That's the choice. Father, thank you for the service tonight. I pray for every family here, every single person here. Lord, that you'd help them as they wage that war against the evil one. And Lord, that their life and their family will be built upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good night.